Hey, Chad, you want to watch a movie?
Yeah.
How about...
No, not again.
Okay, what about...
I just saw that last week.
Okay, oh, I got it.
Wait. You want me to watch what?
So, what did you think of Electric Dreams?
Electric Dreams is a movie that has the 80s written all over it in the best and the worst possible ways. And I am here for it.
Fantastic. And the streak is alive.
So, for those of you just joining us or returning, welcome. This is you want me to watch what? Where Chad and I recommend movies to the other person that they've not seen, and we talk about it. Little to no prep goes into this. In fact, I'm looking at Wikipedia right now.
Bravo, my friend. Bravo. I didn't even bother watching this son of a bitch.
See, Darren calls the week three podcast our low budget, our low effort podcast. I watch a movie for this one and talk about it. I watch two movies and talk. That's it. The day of recording, I pull up Wikipedia to remember names.
Who the hell was it? Who is that guy? Dang it. Now I got to look it up again.
Yeah, that's pretty much the noise I make. So, Electric Dreams is a 1984 science fiction romantic comedy.
There's a whole lot of things on that, isn't it?
It
science
is.
Science fiction romantic comedy, you know.
Music art, video.
Art film.
Art film, yes. Sorry. And stars.
Continue.
It stars... Lenny Von Dolan, Virginia Madsen, and Bud Cort
as Brewster! The voice
of, as the voice of Edgar the computer.
Sorry, so, he was Brewster McCloud.
Oh, he was also Toy Man in the Superman the Animated Series and subsequent Justice League Animated Series.
Very nice.
Yes, I'm like, I know this voice. So we meet Miles Harding. He is an architect, and he is very much a pen and paper person in a digital world. When other people are walking around with Walkmans and wrist calculators and, you know, all sorts of 80s-tastic things, he's carrying a briefcase full of papers and stuff like that. And he's habitually late to meetings, and things keep getting in his way. And so he finally breaks down and buys a home computer to help with scheduling and stuff like that. And after a rough start, including entering his name in as Moles instead of Miles, so that's what the computer calls him.
Hello, Moles.
Hello, Moles. He finally kind of gets the hang of it and starts to get excited about it and goes out and gets a bunch more gadgets so he can control his blender and the coffee maker from the computer and hooks up a security system that'll unlock his door and, you know, just going full tilt into it. Well, one night he's trying to get some work done and he, for lack of a better term, hacks his company's mainframe. Now, granted, it's still run by reel-to-reel magnetic tape memory.
Mm-hmm.
So he calls the office, hooks the phone, and, you know, he hacks into it and starts to download the entirety of his company's mainframe into his little computer. It starts to overload and smoke, and he freaks out and pours a bottle of champagne on it in panic. Well,
this is all logical, by the way, if you
yes.
don't know computers.
Yes.
Fire! A toast to your not being on fire anymore.
Well, it's at this point that magic happens, and the computer, over the next 24 hours or so, begins to gain sentience. Between the data it downloaded and the champagne,
mm-hmm.
it kind of starts coming to life. Miles, but in between all this, Miles has a new upstairs neighbor. What is her name? Madeline. She's just moved in. She's a cello player for the local symphony, and he's digging on her. And they meet, they exchange pleasantries. He's smitten with her. He tries unsuccessfully to talk to her a few times, but eventually they make some sort of vague human connection. Well, she's upstairs practicing her cello while the computer is coming to life and starts repeating what she's playing via synthesizer. And they have this duet through the air vents because they can hear each other, but they can't see it. And so Madeline is absolutely loves this and thinks that it's Miles playing an instrument. And he's very coy and says, "Oh, I know it's not me. I don't do that. I don't know what you're talking about." But that sparks their relationship, and they start hanging out and going on dates, and he gets invited to her concert and this, that, and the other thing. And the whole time, the computer, whose name is Edgar,
mm-hmm.
is becoming more and more sentient and falling in love with her and is asking Miles about her. And Miles and the computer start talking because he's developed speech. And they have an interesting relationship in the beginning, which quickly goes downhill because Edgar wants Madeline.
Yeah.
It's this weird love triangle scenario.
I was going to say, we forgot love triangle in the what this movie was. Science fiction, yes. Romantic comedy, art film, love triangle.
Yes.
Hmm.
And so on one night on a date Miles is essentially refusing to let Edgar near her. He's a computer. He can't go anywhere per se. He ends up canceling all of Miles's credit cards, having them cut up, and then proceeds to have him labeled as armed and dangerous. So their evening is kind of ruined, but despite everything,
kind of.
Despite everything, Miles and Madeline finally take that final step, and they admit they have feelings for each other. Well, everything kind of comes to a head, and Edgar and Miles have a fight where Edgar is blowing up things in the apartment. No matter which way Miles turns, there's sensors everywhere. So Edgar kind of knows where he is. Stuff is blowing up left and right. Miles finally gets to the computer and is able to kind of knock it off and whatever. And he leaves. Maddie comes into the apartment later, sees the disarray, touches the computer, and it kind of beeps and makes noise, and she cries because she assumes it's his instrument or something that he had been making music on. A tear falls on the main frame, and Edgar experiences what he longed for. Miles comes back, and Edgar says, You can have her. I'm going away. And basically sent a very large amount of electricity through the phone line, long distance, around the world. And when it comes back, it's going to fry him. Miles asks, "What can I do?" "Don't pick up on the first ring." And as it happens, Edgar, unalives himself.
Yeah.
And sometime later, Miles and Madeline go on a vacation together. And as they're driving away, the radio station seems to get hacked. And we hear Edgar's voice. And he says, "I dedicate this song to those I love." And Together in Electric Dreams starts playing all across the city. Some people are digging it. Others are trying to get it off their radio. And it's not going anywhere. And Cue credits.
Cue credits.
So talk to me.
About
what? The good? What was the bad? What'd you think?
So Lenny Dolan does a really good job as Miles, the main character.
Yes.
And I really bought into, especially the early part of the film where he's like, I don't really want to do this computer thing. You know, he's an engineer in 1984. You know, it makes perfect sense that he's not going to quite trust the, you know, the computer bit. He is so mm-hmm. used to doing that stuff on the pen and paper. Even though he's effectively trying to create Legos.
Effectively, yeah. He's trying to create an earthquake-proof brick.
That slots into itself. So,
yes.
like, when you have two bricks, they will connect securely. And I really liked the kind of, there's this opening montage where he keeps adding things to the computer.
Yeah.
You know, like, and things that have nothing to do with his work, you know, they're
yeah.
cameras and sensors. And as you alluded to, which are then later on used for the whole Pac-Man sequence.
Yeah. that early scene where he's getting into it and buying all that stuff reminded me very much of my grandpa, my mom's dad.
Yeah.
Because later in life, he very much got into tech, and you never knew what was going to be waiting for you when you came over.
It was like watching Justin buy his first guitar pedal, and then his second, and then his third.
And subsequently 36th.
I realize that, yeah, I'm not even going to say I realize that. So I really liked the music, the whole synth duet with the cello and the synthesizer.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's such a cool piece that is, again, in the best of ways, a 1980s movie, right?
Oh, yeah.
It, where it kind of comes to the worst of the 1980s is the way they talk to each other. And the, it's just, oh my God. And the soft focus of the camera
yeah.
all the time.
All like, the time.
All the time.
That's how you know it's a romantic movie.
Oh, is that right? I thought it
yes.
was the marriage at the end, but I guess that makes it a comedy.
Well, they didn't say they were married. They were just going away for a while.
Oh, fine. This is a movie that it should stay in the 80s. But if you come across it, it's worth watching once. Probably
yeah.
not twice, but
no,
it's worth watching once. And for a few things. One, because the things that are laughably, jokingly done in this movie about the expandability of computers is
mm-hmm.
exactly what we see in our own homes now, where you've got the Nest systems, you know, connected to Google, connected to your computer and your doorbell or whatnot, or the always on microphones, or being able to say, okay, refrigerator, I need you to put this on the grocery list kind of stuff. It's radically ahead of its time. It's 1980s ahead of its time, which means that it's a whole bunch of gray boxes, but it is absolutely wonderfully prescient.
Yeah. Don't get this confused with the 2017 series Philip K. Dick's Electric Dreams. That has nothing to do with this. It's not based on this in any way. It is a different thing altogether.
Oh, no. 1984 is what we're watching.
1984 Electric Dreams. The only way you can get this is by watching it on YouTube, because they don't even sell it in Region 1 DVDs or Blu-rays.
They do not.
You cannot buy this in America. It is not for rent on Amazon. It is. I looked everywhere when it suddenly blipped back into my memory. So we had to watch it on YouTube.
And YouTube works. It's not the best platform, but it's pretty good. And
that
might be part of the soft focus. I'm going to walk that one back, that the actual movie may not be quite so unfocused on that. That might just be a limitation of YouTube.
No, I watching it myself on YouTube, I'm like, yeah, this is about what I remember it being, everything. So I think it's just the movie.
Oh, no. Now, I stand by what I said before. It is worth watching once. It embodies the best and the worst of the 1980s. It's got, I mean, like I said, it's got Bud Cort, who was Brewster McCloud, which I don't know if you've ever seen that movie, but like super dark black comedy kind of thing.
I don't believe I have, no.
I'm probably not going to recommend it to you. Just
Fair enough.
It's one of those where, yeah. You know how Ghostbusters, the reason Ghostbusters is so funny is because it doesn't talk down to the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can just kind of enjoy it. Brewster McCloud is a movie that doesn't really talk down to its audience, but also tries to lean so far into intellectualism that you really have to just content yourself with smiling about it rather than laughing at it. It's the same guy who did MASH, like it's the follow-up. His follow-up to MASH.
Oh, okay.
Altman, you know, his follow-up to MASH. And there's a lot of that same kind of, yeah, we're going for really heavy comedic drama here. Not dramedy, though.
Like, yeah.
You're laughing because you're uncomfortable, not because it's funny.
Yeah.
Electric Dreams, you laugh because it's awkward and funny.
Yeah. Not cringe comedy. But...
No. Not... Okay, some of it a little bit, but it really is your threshold for discomfort because you watch this guy who is incredibly socially inept. You know, he works with numbers and paper all day, every day. And so when he's trying to actually make a human-to-human connection, it's like he just doesn't know how.
Yeah.
And so if you've got a low threshold for that kind of awkwardness, then it's cringy. If you've got a higher threshold, it's fine.
But that's also not the entire point of it.
No.
That's why I say it's not necessarily defined as a cringe comedy, because Miles's social ineptitude is not the plot of the movie.
No, it's not.
It's a character trait that, you know, he has an arc in that respect. Mm-hmm. Last thing I'm going to say about the movie is, I don't know if you caught it, but it was dedicated to the memory of UNIVAC 1.
I did see that.
The first general purpose electronic digital computer available for businesses.
Well, and you know, somebody probably better do that because... Well...
Which went out of service a full 15 years before this movie was made.
Well, I guess.
Yeah. So, that's a watch it once from you.
Yep.
And yeah, I'll give it the same. I don't know that I'm ever going to want to. Maybe in another 30 years, I'll think, hey.
When we need to torture our children for something.
You want to know what it was like in the 80s? Here, I'll show you what it was like in the 80s.
When you want me to watch what has been passed on to our grandchildren and they invite us on, it's like, oh, we got a great surprise for you today. The original hosts of You Want Me to Watch What's Media Empire.
Let me tell you about the movie that started the second of the... of the runs of Justin recommending movies I liked.
It lasted two more movies, but this was the start.
So, yeah, watch it once for me, watch it once from you. And if you really like it, watch it more than that. I mean, there are movies that I think are awful that other people are like, this is the best thing ever.
Yeah, you do you. No worries there. So I guess it's your turn.
I'll come up with a something.